The hour of 10:15 having arrived, I will call the House Tax Committee to order when we have a quorum. We will get started, however. We have two bills before us today, House File 65 and House File 66. The author, this is Chair Anderson Day at the Capitol. We have a small, House File 65, small business investment credit increased. And I think what we'll do is we will have House Research go over a description of the bill, and then we will start testimony. I have a Mr. Chad Olson. I have a Bob Isaacson as a resource person if needed, if we have questions for the department. A Genevieve Plumidor and a Pramod Hakaran. I hope I did okay on that. Hosharan? Close enough for government work. Okay, there we go. Okay, so we will get started. If House Research could go over House File 65 and give a summary as to what it does. Ms. Manzi?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House File 65 increases the allocation for the Small Business Investment Credit, which is often called the Angel Investment Credit. This credit is administered by application, so qualified investors apply to the Department of Employment and Economic Development for a portion of the credit. The amount for tax years 2015 and 2016 is currently set at $15 million for each year, and this bill would increase that to $18 million. So they would accept applications until the full amount was allocated to credits.
Okay, thank you very much. Other than the folks I mentioned on the list, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify on behalf of or with concerns on House File 65? Okay, then let's get started with testimony. Mr. Chad Olson, if you could come down, and why don't we just bring, now are all these folks in support of? Is there any opposition? Well, then let's briefly talk about why we should be doing this. And Mr. Olson, Ms. Plumidor, and sir, could you please pronounce your last name for the record?
For me? Because Chad Olson.
Olson.
Olson. With the, it's spelled the right way with the E-N, so.
We did okay on that?
You did wonderful.
We have trouble with the Olsons in the
city. I know. I look like Olson. I know.
Yes, yes. That was my first thought.
Yeah, Oli.
We're hearing your testifiers.
Okay, and then could you please?
Thanks, boss. Yes, sir. My name is Pramod Hocharan, and you did it pretty well.
Hocharan?
Hocharan. Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, so with that, we actually do have a quorum. So, members, we will call the meeting of the House Tax Committee to order. We've had a very nice description of Chair Anderson's bill. Chair Anderson, go ahead and make a few comments if you'd like.
Madam Chair, I'm sure they handled it well. I don't want to waste your time.
Okay, so we're even.
Mr. Chair, just apologies for my tardiness. I did it with good intents. I ran to Target to maybe help you out with some treats. So.
Oh, all is forgiven.
Okay, good.
Okay, so I don't see it. Before we get started, we'll let Chair Anderson get ready because I would like to let her introduce her bill too here. Representative Simonson moves the minutes of February 18th. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all fair say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Thank you, Representative Simonson. Okay. Okay, a two-year bill. If you could please describe your bill, Chair Anderson. And thank you for the treats and snacks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two bills before the committee today. One of the bills, it extends the angel investor tax credit, makes it permanent. The other bill, what it does is it increases the amount that we put towards the angel investor tax credit from $15 to $18 million. Members, I know you're all very familiar with this program that we have in the state. What it what we have seen in the history of this program is that the resources have been consumed at a faster rate every single year. I think the first year that it was in place, all of the funds were exhausted by August. In the second go-around, it was July, I believe, and then May. And then here in the last go-around, all of the funds were exhausted by March. In the last legislative cycle, we put in place a set aside for greater Minnesota businesses and of $7.5 million. That also includes minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses, too, and we're seeing a greater uptick in the use of those funds this year as well. So with that, Mr. Chair, I stand for questions, and I'm not sure which bill you wanted to start with. So,
Chair Anderson moves House File 65, so that's one going from $15 million to $18 million as far as the funds go. Chair Earhart has a question first.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, is this exhausted itself? Are we adding on to, is this a revolving fund or, where are we with the dollars in there now? Have we expended the whole 15 and now we're going for a couple more or three more or what?
Ms. Manzi?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Department of Employment and Economic Development, I believe, is still accepting applications and has not yet used up the $15 million for this year. I see Mr. Isaacson nodding in the audience. Yes, and he, if you wanted to have information as to how much has been allocated, he may be able to provide that.
That would be nice. Thank you.
Okay. In fact, why don't we do that right out of the chute? Well, no, we'll bring you up, Mr. Isaacson, a little bit to answer the Earhart question. Unless there's other questions right now, we'll get into testimony. I'm just going to start out with Mr. Olson, founder and CEO of Buy Me.
Yep, you got it.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
All right, thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is Chad Olson, and I'm the CEO and founder of Buy Me. And I will give you the brief, short and sweet story on what I've done so far. First and foremost, I grew up in Blaine, Minnesota. Was adopted and worked with a family or a household where my father worked in the corporate world and said, go the corporate route. I worked for Target right out of high school as an intern for 4 years, had a wonderful time there, and realized during my time there that it's not for me. So I went off and started my own company while I was in college. I've had four different companies now. Buy Me is the main one that I'm doing, of course, and my top priority. And I've raised $250,000 in 2013, and it was the tipping point, the angel tax credit. So first and foremost, I have to say, on the state, I'm sorry, I'm not very familiar with politics, but or the process. But I have to say thank you for that, for the first step, because it was the tipping point that got my first investment. As of later today, I'm closing my next $250,000 round. And also, once again, this thing has been a lifesaver for my business and helped me take it to the next step. The other thing, too, to testify on this bill is I have many friends that are out on the western coast. Buy Me is a mobile application that is for students only and is a platform that lets merchants interact with students on a mobile app. This is the type of business that usually is seen out on the West Coast. I have many friends out there, and besides the weather factor, I tell them, come on over here because this is where it's at. We have all the beautiful people over here anyways. So,
you say that with a straight face?
Yeah, yes.
You're good.
Well, and the thing is, most of them, they're like, wow, the West Coast, we have all these people. But, I love it here. I've grown up here my entire life. I don't plan to move out. I've been offered some deals out in Palo Alto. But to me, Minnesota's home, and I want to see this keep going. And most importantly, for my friends that are on the fence or even out there right now, this bill is something that will bring them back. And it is seriously, I cannot express this enough, a game changer for investors. For me, I cannot fund the business by myself. I'm very familiar with ramen noodles, and I still love them to this day. But, I've not paid myself a huge salary. I've invested all the money into my business. So there's many other people out there like me that want to do ideas and bring the economic growth to Minnesota. But the angel tax credit is just the first step to gain it a strong entrepreneur home base here in Minnesota. And I truly believe that our state can be one of the better leaders in technology and other entrepreneurial pursuits as well. But the angel tax credit is the one thing that so far in my life, at least, has changed the way my business has grown to date.
Thank you. Chair Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not quite sure what your business does. I wish you'd tell me again, because this name sounds like it ought to be on Craigslist or something.
Okay. Well,
Sir Olson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, so basically in a nutshell, Buy Me is like a Groupon for students only. It's gone viral within the University of Minnesota. I've broken sales records, and this is all via a mobile application for Android or iPhones. Sure. In a nutshell, what Groupon is, it's a daily deal aggregate, basically, where they give people deals that you can buy within a certain amount of time. Buy Me is doing something similar to that, but on the detail side, it's much more with the data, the process, and also the loyalty factor for local merchants. So that's another point, too, with my businesses. I'm actually working with local vendors and owners to grow their business as well. Thus why, like I said earlier before, usually this type of business is seen in the West Coast because it's tech-related, or that's what everyone thinks, but that's what I'm trying to change to bring it back here.
Thank you.
Chair Earhart?
No.
Okay. Any other questions from members? Let's go to Ms. Genevieve Plumidor, Life Science Alley. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Genevieve Plumidor here representing Life Science Alley. I am here testifying in support of both of these bills. Minnesota took important steps 5 years ago when the Angel Investment Tax Credit was first put into place to leverage investments into the state. And as I've testified before this committee, our life science companies have a very arduous process to get a product to market. It's 7 to 10 years before they actually become profitable and go through the FDA processes. So I have brought one of our members, Promote, to come and speak to you about his disruptive technology and his hopes for the future. So.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Promote Hojilun. Yes, it's great to be back here again. So last year I also testified for two House committees. Like Genevieve already make some introduction for me, and also a little bit different from Mr. Olson, which is also a great story. Is number one, and I believe that everybody here is probably knows that Minnesota is also has been the center of medical device in the country and actually in the world for that regards. So we already have a lot of expertise here. But nonetheless, starting a business here is still not easy. I mean, I heard that Earl Buckins, when he started Medtronic, the story was that, he built something, some electronic at Dr. Lehigh Lab, and the next day he come back and he tried to find to finish what he did the day before, and he asked Dr. Lehigh, and then he said it's already in the patients. Unfortunately, that's not the environment today, right? So today, if I do that, I will put my 2 feet in jail, and Genevieve have to bail me out. So the key is in today's environment, which for a good reason, the regulatory is much tightened, and actually payment is also more tightened. That means that unlike the software or the internet or the application, which is the hot deal today, medical device is much more difficult to get started, especially by a simple guy like me. Because we need not just millions, we need 50 millions or possibly 100 millions, before we actually even can start testing in human. So I'm not even talking about in the market. So because of that, but in the same time at Minnesota, I used to work for Boston Scientific. So I'm for sure not the smartest guy in my floor. There's so many people who's a lot smarter than I was, get PhD from MIT, and then they have some many good idea too. But most of us, when we have idea, the route that we go to would go to, our manager, and then trying to get the buy-in. If you don't get buy-in, then we bitch about that. So so my point here is that the Minnesota Actual Tax Credit is, I mean, it's very difficult. My point here is very difficult for someone, typical engineer who have a lot of good idea, have a lot of, creativity isn't their mind, but to bring up the business, because it's a very different skill, right? So, and again, like today environment and urban environment is very different. So it's really difficult on that. And fundraising is also difficult. When I left Boston Scientific to start Nova Medical, I have zero network in business. I'm originally from Thailand. I grew up in Thailand. I came here for graduate school. Building the business network is not something that I, friend and family is forget it, because all of my friend and family is in Thailand and they're not helpful in this regard. They're very supportive mentally but not financially. So having to convince someone to put the money in is difficult. And being disruptive technology is difficult. The long process, the huge amount of investment needed is difficult. Angel tax credit is definitely something that help reduce, not eliminate. Help reduce all those difficulties. So far, I have raised about $400,000, which is very small money, for a medical device to start up. But without most of our investor already got have the tax get the tax credit, and I have raised money from out of the state and also out of the country. We get some money from Asia, from Thailand, from my friends there. Not a lot, but a little bit. We actually just got some investor that I met from a conference, but he's from Singapore, and actually I'm going to Singapore next month, so hopefully meeting more investor. So having a tax credit really helped. I said to Genuine that get going when I just have a simple idea, not a complete business story around it, not even have a data to show the promising of the idea. I had no problem attracting people, get people excited about what we're trying to do, which I actually should have said something a little bit about that. But the thing that when people, want to take the risk, and that's what they take a step backward a little bit because of all the hurdle that we have to go through, and they understand that. But having the tax credit definitely helped that. So maybe I give two seconds of what I'm doing. So everyone definitely know heart attack, and I believe that I don't have to answer what is heart attack, because unfortunately it's a very common disease in the world, not only the United States. So when people have heart attack, that means that the arterial is blockage. So, and today treatment is use stent to open the blocked artery and let the blood flow going back to the heart right away, which makes total sense, right? But what is not being said, even though it's known before I was born, was that the blood that coming back after the severe damage of the heart attack actually attacks the heart. So the blood that coming back, instead of helping, but it's actually choking the heart and make the heart die even more. So this analogy would be like you have cancer and you need chemotherapies, but sometimes the patient die because of chemotherapies. So, and the good news is that we know that just simple cooling can actually prevent that secondary attack. But the problem is that we don't know how to cool the heart down very fast, because timing is very important. You need to cool down within 15 minutes. So, and that's where we come in. Our technology is a catheter that gets to the heart directly, and we cool the heart down. In the last year, when I testified here the first time, we had the whole first data, which is totally unexpected. The current technology can cool the heart down, the fastest one cool the heart down within the whole body down within an hour. And that's the fastest one. In the first study in 2013 that we did in animal, we cooled the heart down within 2 minutes compared to an hour. But we use high flow. So yesterday I just did another animal study. Just yesterday, we wanted to reduce the flow, and we were able to cool in only 1/3 of the flow that we did before. But we take longer time. We take, instead of 2 minutes, we take 7 minutes, which is still a lot better than an hour. The point here is that this is a disruptive technology. It will help a lot of people, not only in Minnesota, not only in the United States, but around the world. But it needs someone. It needs a lot of people to help, and the tax credit is really helpful for us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You folks have mentioned several times, and you should never ask a question unless you already know the answer, but you said several times disruptive technology.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that question. So when you're talking about innovation, most, I mean, like, it can be something that you add on to something, right? But disruptive meaning that it changed the whole things. Like, you know, what we're doing is actually we change the practice, the standard practice of cardiology or medicine. So because we are not adding, for example, if we were to come in and build new stent, that would be not disruptive, but it would be incremental technology, I mean, incremental change. But with the what we do, it will change the whole care of the heart attack. So instead of when the patient come in, instead of getting stent right away, they have to get the cooling right away. And then, not to get into too technical details, but we can provide more than cooling. We actually, like yesterday too, when we create heart attack, usually when you create heart attack, you have to do something to the animal because the blood pressure starts dropping, your animal will get to shock and die very quickly within a few minutes, right? And that's what happened to the patient when they come to the hospital. It's emergency. Everyone have to get to the patient and have to put stent in, blah, blah, blah. So what our technology did besides cooling was that, and it was really amazing yesterday actually, was that we start the heart attack and we do nothing to that animal. We don't give any drugs or anything. We don't help the heart anything. The only thing we do is using our technology for half an hour of that period of total blockage of the main artery that supply to the heart muscle. The heart was doing just like normal. No blood pressure drop, no drugs, nothing. Our device can change that too. So that means that we can reduce the urgency of stent. So I don't want to, that could be like 2-day discussion, but that's what it means by disruptive. That means that it changed. So when it changed, it sounds good. And okay, that's a positive side, right? It's changing. The negative side of that is that, number one, it's a lot of unknown. When you're talking about creativity, it's the thing that comes up with creativity is risk. Even to make the new stent the better, it's already have a lot of risk than producing another stent that we know is already work. But you actually, when you actually have disruptive technology, that means that you're going to change the whole practice. For example, like the electric car is disruptive. It's not just making the gasoline car better. Now we have to change the whole like energy supply. It's not just the gas station. Now we have the electric station, something like that. The battery is to create the new supplier, new vendors, because to support that type of technology. So when it comes to disruptive technology, the risk is higher. In the same time, the reward is also higher. And obviously, we disrupt because we want to make something significantly better, not just incrementally better.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for any of the witnesses or the author? Okay, thank you very much. Maybe we could get Mr. Isaacson down as a resource. Thank you, folks, for your testimony.
Thank you.
Please state your name and who represents the record, please, sir.
Good morning. My name is Bob Isaacson. I'm Director of Business Finance with the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development.
Welcome to the tax room. I believe Chair Earhart had a question. Representative Earhart, this is the gentleman from D that might be able to answer your question on the funding process and so forth. Did you hear Chair Earhart's question?
I did, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, at this point we've allocated about one-third of the tax credits available for this year for the targeted groups, which are Greater Minnesota, women-owned and minority-owned businesses. We've allocated about 20% of those credits. For the general tax credit area, we've allocated about 40%, so on average about a third of the tax credits have been allocated this year.
Chair Earhart?
Mr. Chairman, I just was wondering if we're filling the bucket before we need to. That was my only reason for asking that. It sounds like a good program to me, but outside of that, that's why I was asking. And you're going to expend all that before we get to the new money if we vote that?
Mr.
Your current stock of money is going to be gone, so we're looking for more.
Mr. Isaacson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, Representative Anderson's right on. Each year that we've had the credits, the annual tax credit working, it's gone faster and faster in terms of allocations. Last year was extremely quick and rapid perhaps because that was the last year that the program was actually authorized. So I think there was a big rush, and it actually was done in early February, mid-February in 2014. I think the near normal is probably late spring, and we fully expect all the credits to be allocated that we have allocated this year.
Chair Earhart.
Thank you.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Isaacson, I'm just trying to kind of remember. As I recall, we had a study done on the angel investment tax credit. The report was out last year, the year before. And as I recall, one of the things that was kind of surprising about it was that in a survey of the people who had taken advantage of it, a major share of them said they would have invested anyhow, that they were friends or relatives or employees of the company benefiting. And, you know, that doesn't seem like it brought the new investment that the program had promised. And have you been able to do any follow-up on that, or do you know any more? Maybe you could just refresh the committee if I'm correct in my memory of what that initial survey showed and if you've learned anything since.
Mr. Isaacson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Loeffler. Yes, the study that was done last year by an independent consultant found that a large share, I think upwards of 40% of the credits were provided to what they called or termed insiders, folks that own the company or the family. The legislature in 2014, when the program was extended, actually disallowed any insider use of the program. So moving forward, starting this year and moving forward, insiders cannot participate in the Angel Tax Credit Program.
Thank you so much. I remember the discussion. I wasn't sure if we had addressed it or not. And is it correct that it's still a pretty relatively small group of people who would qualify for this because they have to have, I think it was like $1 million in savings, or I mean they have to somehow establish that they can handle the risk?
Mr. Isaacson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Loeffler, there are what called an accredited investor that you can either be an accredited investor to apply, or you can be a non-accredited investor. So folks with somewhat smaller means can still participate. They just need to acknowledge in their application to be certified that they are not accredited and they have a different income level. And we try to keep track of where those investment dollars are going, who's investing in what type of business, and so on.
And then my last question, Mr. Chair, is the other thing I kind of remember, and we knew that going in that these are high risk, just like any startup. But do we have any sense of what percent have survived, you know, 2 or 3 years now that we've been down here a ways of the ones that have initially been benefited?
Mr. Isaacson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Loeffler, the last annual report we provided, we actually had a list of the businesses that had gone out of business, and the numbers were actually quite small. I think less than 5% at that point had actually dissolved or terminated operations from when the program began in 2010. Every year we receive annual reports from businesses that are participating, so we'll be putting together the next annual reports sometime in March that will have updated information.
Okay, great. I look forward to having that before we make our final choices.
Any other questions for Mr. Isaacson or the author, Representative Simonson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Anderson, for your work on this bill. This is certainly an area that I've been interested in over the last 2 years, and as you brought this through a previous committee, I think I made some of my concerns known, and I have no interest in rehashing those again, but I do want to just ask a question, if I may, just so that it's 100% clear in my head. But as I understand this, Representative Anderson, under current law, we've appropriated $15 million to this program to be used for credits across the state. And in addition to that, beginning the tax year after December 31st, 2014, We appropriated 50% of that $15 million to qualified Greater Minnesota businesses and minority or women-owned qualified small businesses in Minnesota. You would agree with that, I would assume?
Chair Anderson.
Mr. Chair, yes. So of the last time that this program was changed, it was $7.5 million that went toward the minority-owned, women-owned, and greater Minnesota-owned businesses.
Okay. And thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson. So as I understand your bill, we're just essentially increasing the $15 million total appropriation to $18 million in House File 65, at least. So that's an additional $3 million. But what I don't see is a change to the appropriation to either greater Minnesota businesses or minority or women-owned businesses. Is that a fair statement?
Chair Anderson.
Mr. Chair, it is a fair statement. I wasn't sure if I should make it still at the 50% threshold. If you have input on that, I am open to any suggestions that you have in that regard.
And Mr. Chair, since the author is open to input, I would, under your guiding hand of no rules in the Tax Committee, I would like to offer, if you'll accept, an oral amendment to House File 65.
I think that would be in order.
And, Mr. Chair, that amendment would be starting on line 1.15, starting with the comma after December 31st, 2014, strike all the way through to and including $7,500,000 on line 1.16 and replace it with 50%. And once staff gets that, I'll try to explain it.
Mr. Michael, could you explain, or Ms. Manthe, or Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, essentially what the amendment does is to, instead of having a fixed dollar amount set aside for the preferred businesses in greater Minnesota or women or minority-owned businesses, it would just set aside 50, one half of whatever the allocation is.
So,
under the bill, it would increase the set aside from $7.5 million to $9 million. And keep in mind that if that set aside is not used by the end of September, then it goes back into the general pot and would become available to any business that otherwise qualifies.
Representative Simonson, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Michael. I think you certainly explained it far better than I could. But essentially, members and Representative Anderson, I apologize I didn't talk to you about this beforehand, but it just sort of came to me here. And I think at some point in time we have to put politics aside and focus on some good policy. So I think with this amendment, members, what we can do is we can say we understand that there's a need or a desire for at least the author to want to continue this program. And if we're going to appropriate additional dollars to the program, then I think it's fair to say that we should appropriate them equally as we did in the last biennium. So with that, Mr. Chair, my amendment's before you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Simonson. To the amendment, Chair Anderson.
Sounds good to me.
Excuse me?
Sounds good to me, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Knobloch?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, just so I understand, I guess if there were requests for more than $7,500,000 under the current language right now from minority-owned businesses, greater Minnesota businesses, women-owned businesses, we could allocate more than $7,500,000 to those businesses now as the language is today, correct?
Chair Anderson?
Mr. Chair, that is true.
Chair Knobloch?
Thank you.
Anyone that would wish to testify on the Simonson Amendment from the audience? Any other questions from members? Representative Simonson renews his motion to amend. And just for the record, Mr. Michael, if you could restate the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the amendment would be on page 1, line 16, strike $7,500,000 and insert 50%.
Members understand the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Okay, any other discussion on House File 65? Then I will move that House, or Chair Anderson moves that House File 65 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Item next, and thank you, Chair Anderson. And as we said, this is Chair Anderson Day at the Capitol, a celebration, treats, and so forth. Okay, so Chair Anderson moves House File 66. Chair Anderson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What House File 66 does is it makes the Angel Investor Tax Credit permanent.
Anyone that would wish to testify from the audience for the bill, House File 66, or with concerns? Okay, I think we know what the question. We know what this is. Questions for members? With that, Chair Anderson renews her motion to House File 66 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Chair Anderson. Thank you, members. Good government all the time. We're adjourned.